This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink. Welcome to Halloween 2.0. For you guys, Halloween is over. For us, it is only beginning.
Well, we're halfway through.
We're that.
We're at 51%.
51. That's when your phone does not need to be in power reserve anymore.
Guys, Christine's still in her cat costume.
I mean, Em showed up in a Marty McFly outfit, so I felt like I needed to live up.
Well, since last week, I almost said last year.
I'm still in my costume.
It hasn't changed at all. Don't worry. Actually, Christine did change her underwear earlier today.
I did. I wanted to make sure everyone knew about it.
She announced it as she came down the stairs. I changed my underwear.
It wasn't really. It wasn't for a gross reason. It was because it was falling off my butt.
Well, that's a gross reason.
And in a onesie. It's a little difficult to constantly be fixing it.
So Christine's underwear has been changed once.
So glad we announced that to the world.
So, okay, so you're in your costume. I didn't come in a costume last week, so I felt underdressed. So I came in my costume this week. And I also had to match you on the same energy present-wise, so I got you both something.
Oh, for God's sake. Are you serious?
Yeah.
We're just going to become those people who try to one-up each other all the time.
No, it's very even.
Okay, good.
I'm so impressed with everyone's ability to hide these presents.
I was like, Em's going downstairs? Bye. What is that? What the fuck? Are you serious right now, Em? Holy shit, you're not fucking around, dude. Whoa, look at this crime scene tape. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm going to put this all over the podcast room. Holy shit, there's oh my God, this is dope. There's crime scene tape. Ah! What is this? Whoa, there's like a tumbler, a skull
tumbler. It's a tumbler, but it's a skull with a brain. like a brain freeze, get it?
Oh, clever.
And then there's ice cube trays that have eyeball gummies in them, so you can put ice cube eyeballs in your drinks.
Wait, that's so good.
Yeah.
When you guys come over on Halloween, I'll make them for, like, the cider or something.
Oh, yeah.
Fun idea.
And then I put in, each candy has, like, a different thing about it. The gummies just seemed very Halloween-y, but then I also put in some of my favorites, something I thought Christine would like, and something I thought Eva would like.
Oh my god. Reptar cereal!
That's the thing Christine would like.
Of course it is. What's the one Eva would like?
booze,
yeah.
Well, I just assumed, like, you got her wine, so I got
this
you...
This is cute, little champagne jelly beans. I can't believe this exists.
I got champagne jelly beans for you guys.
I all this stuff.
And then...
Peanut M&Ms
are also Christine's favorite, and then Triple Power Push Pop. I actually just talked about this on Is This Adulting?
I'm so mad I tried to find them for you for last week.
Five Below, so...
What's that?
Wait, there's a Five Below here?
I just found it. Stop. That's why I bought all this shit.
What is that? A candy store?
Five Below? Thank you, Eva. The Virginians in here know. It's basically like... You know how there's like a Dollar Tree or so there Five Below is everything is $5 or under.
Oh, because I tried to find these at Target for you and I couldn't and I felt sad.
It's right across from the Outback in Glendale.
Oh, hells yeah. I know
up
where that
up
is.
Up the escalator, Five Below's right there.
Yeah. Is it new?
I don't know, but
because I used to go to that complex all the time.
Well, I saw it and I was like, well, I have to fucking go, because that was like my like high school experience was always going to Five Below.
Oh, I'm so
like
amped.
When you first get a car and there's really nowhere to drive in your small town, Five Below was just the place you always went.
I'm so excited right now. I'm eating these gummy bears. They're little evil twins, like yeah. You and me.
Just like you and me.
Thank you. This is precious.
You're welcome.
I got my own little Halloween basket.
Yeah. All right. So, and that's all I have.
That's adorable. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm very happy right now.
Good.
I love Halloween.
I wanted to match your Halloween energy.
I love putting the pressure on.
Well, you did.
How are you, Em?
Currently fighting a cold. If you can't tell by my nasally voice.
Womp womp.
But other than that, I'm fine. Allison took care of me, which was very nice.
Aw.
And I have officially completed my haunt attraction to-do list for October 2018. Because I went to the LA Haunted Hayride, I went to Queen Mary, I went to Knott's Scary Farm, and I went to Universal. And I did them in ascending order of, like, the scariest.
Ooh,
so,
fancy.
Like, I weaned myself in, and then as of 2 days ago, I went to the best like, one, which was peak. Universal. Yep.
Awesome.
And Allison went, and it was her first time at Universal. I think she had a good time. We actually both screamed.
Oh.
That was fun. Christine, my roommate, who I go with every year, she ran into a wall. She was so scared.
Oh, no. That sounds like something I would do, to be fair.
You could hear her head hit the wall.
Oh, no.
And I had to catch her. But that just means you had a good time.
I mean, that's you don't leave without doing that, I hear.
Right. How are you?
I'm okay. I haven't been feeling too hot this weekend, so I kind of stayed home and did Halloween weenie stuff with myself and my dog.
Self-care.
Watched some Sabrina, which I'm obsessed with. Watched Haunting of Hill House. You know, try to get in the spooky spirit. Ate a shit ton of candy day in, day out.
Like you're currently doing right now?
Correct. So life is good. I love Halloween season.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I also enjoy it. And now that this is coming out the week after.
Right. So, like, the 4th.
So, Halloween's already happened. We're already a couple days into November.
Oh, my God. Our first tour date
is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. In D.C.
When you listen to this, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're currently very nervous. Actually, we're probably currently in Fredericksburg, and I'm showing Christine and Eva my hometown.
That's right. We got a dose
very
of Cincinnati,
excited.
Now a dose of Fredericksburg.
Very excited.
We're on it.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
I'll show you all the hot spots.
I still need to do a lot of prepping for that week, but
yeah,
working on it.
I do too. I need a lot of mental prep as well.
Well, that
I need
too.
To make sure I've got enough propranolol.
Talk about self-care, man. That's going to be a rough week.
Woo! And like around my parents at the same time. That's,
right.
It's one thing to be incredibly nervous and to do the thing I hate the most, which is like to be on stage in
right.
a panic, but like to also do it with all my friends and family, like
fair.
Fighting for time to hang out with me when it's like, I'm not really here for vacation. I'm here to like,
yeah.
Be prepared to be on a stage 5 nights in a row.
Then we got a bolt like right afterward. Yeah.
Right. It's going to be a lot of pressure and it's going to be, I imagine some version of a reality check with my friends because my friends have actually never seen me with a job.
Oh.
Because I went to college, I worked in college, but only during like college season.
Like part-time, yeah.
Yeah. And then when it was summer, I was hanging out with all my friends. Then I went to grad school in Boston. Then I went to LA, but they've never actually known me to be like on the job while they were like in the same area as
yeah.
me.
And this is definitely not like your traditional on the job. It's like,
right. It's going to be weird though for them to be like, let's have a sleepover. And I'm going to be like, I got to work. I think that's the first time I'll ever get to say
I'm
that to them.
I'm on a business trip right now.
It's like, do you mind? But yeah, it'll be a new experience.
It'll be fun. It'll be a learning experience for all of us, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. It'll be good though. That being said, we have a lot of tour dates. Those are all sold out, but we do have a lot of tour dates coming up. So check our website, and that's wedrink.com/live. I believe the week that this comes out, a couple new shows are announcing. So follow our Instagram. That's where we post them. Instagram, Twitter.
Yep.
ATWWD podcast. Real quick update as well. A lot of people have been asking about this. We actually have made some changes to our Patreon page. So I just want to explain that real quick. So we had a lot of tiers before and it was getting kind of complex and there were a lot of things, rewards that we had promised that we just felt like we weren't living up to. And it was like growing, at least like my guilt was like
dope. At an all time high.
Yeah. An all time high. Cause I was like, shit, these people are, you know, supporting us monetarily. And I feel like we're not giving them what we promised. So we've simplified the whole system. There are now only two tiers, a $2 tier and a $5 tier. $2 and above gets you everything that, we currently do like CK's bonus listener stories every month mm-hmm. and our Facebook Live and occasional goodies that we mail out to you guys, just like little postcards and things.
Right.
And then $5 and above is now, there's a little bit change. You get everything else that the $2 people get, patrons get. And then you also have access to our fan mail videos that we do every month, which used to only be $10 and above. So now $5, you get access to our fan mail videos, and you also get behind the scenes content, which is something we're trying to work on.
Yeah. And so if you guys have any suggestions, that would also be something you can email us about.
Yeah. But like for now, it's mostly just kind of casual, like, oh,
me sleeping.
And I'm sleeping. Isn't that what you all want?
Yeah.
But like, you know, when we're traveling or like now, we're going to be able to post from our phones directly to the Patreon page. So that's going to give us a lot more access to give you guys more content, which we think is probably the best way we can include you guys in our lives and vice versa. So we're hoping that adding more content to the page will be worth it for you guys month to month. And you don't have to change your donation, but you do if you are a Patreon donor. Please check your messages, because I did kind of give a quick instruction on how to include yourself on the $5 tier.
Right.
So thank you to everyone who's been donating. You mean so much to us and are still so special to us. So we just wanted to make this as simplified as possible.
And we wanted to make sure that we were actually giving you something that we could promise you.
Yeah, exactly.
And not, you know, fall short on that.
Not overpromise. So. Yep.
All right.
All right, well, spooky season continues.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
We all want our cats to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes us happy too. But because we're not mind readers, we don't always know when they're unwell. And cats can be kind of standoffish about sharing their emotions and feelings. So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly, so there is no more cat bathroom smell. Hooray! Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust. Plus, the crystals last up to a month, which means less scooping and fewer trips to the garbage can. Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in our cats, including urinary tract infection and kidney issues. And Pretty Litter ships free right to our door in a small, lightweight bag. This is ingenious, folks. Pretty Litter has been a part of our lives for many, many years. I just think it's the coolest product. It gives you the peace of mind knowing that you can sense something is wrong depending on the color of the litter. And it's so much easier than going to the store and lugging all that dusty litter home. You know how that goes. And the smell. There's no smell. It's amazing. Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on my cat's health and keeps odors down. You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. Go to prettylitter.com/ATWWD and use code ATWWD to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/ATWWD, code ATWWD to save 20%. prettylitter.com/ATWWD, code ATWWD. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yes. So we actually just did this month's Facebook Live, or I guess October's Facebook Live. We just recorded that before we started recording this. So ironically, I don't know if it's really ironic, but it was funny in that a lot of people were recommending stories to me through Facebook Live of things that I should cover in the future, which I highly appreciate and am so grateful for. There were a few people who were requesting something, and I basically said flat out, in the Facebook Live, okay, that's the story I'm covering literally in 5 minutes after we do Facebook Live. So you got to stop requesting it, or Christine's going to like get the name in her head. So
I got a spoiler alert. Everyone got a spoiler alert.
So Christine actually knows what I'm covering today, although I don't think you actually know the story behind it at all, do you?
I mean, I do-ish.
Oh, you do?
Okay. Yeah, but I've always wanted to hear you cover it, so I'm very excited.
Okay, so
I like know the basics, but I don't know much
I
about
never
it.
Heard of it.
Oh, really?
I only knew a lot of people started requesting it after I covered Bloody Mary.
Right. Okay. Well, there's the movie. Okay, well, you say the topic and then we'll go. Nobody knows. Everyone's like, what is it? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no. So I got a lot of requests after Bloody Mary because apparently this is a similar folklore. So this is La Llorona.
Yay!
And it is a Latin American folklore. A lot of people have said that she is the Latin American Bloody Mary.
Oh, sure.
Although she doesn't come with a game. She's not like a...
She's not fun in games.
Like, you don't request her presence. She, like, brings it upon herself to show you.
You don't have to request her. I think a lot of... The movie was just announced, so I think people are kind of... Mm-hmm. It's on the brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, La Llorona in English is loosely translated into either the Weeping Woman or the Wailing Woman.
The Wailing. That sounds so creepy.
So... La Llorona is a part of Hispanic culture in the Southwest since basically the days of the conquistadors. Mm. And actually, it's become kind of a part of Hispanic culture wherever you are. So even in America and like more Hispanic communities, sure, it has carried over. So there's a lot of variety on the folklore. It was also depicted before the movie that's coming out. It was depicted in 1961 in a film called The Curse of the Crying Woman. It has also been on the TV show Grimm, on the TV show Sleepy Hollow. La Llorona was actually the first villain and the very first pilot of Supernatural.
Shit.
And several movies and songs have incorporated her. And she's also been a theme character at Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
That's a horrible theme character to run into.
And she has also been featured in comics such as Batwoman.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
So the
very culturally relevant.
She gets around. So
well, yeah.
So La Llorona is a ghost of a woman who lost her children, and now she cries looking for them in all sorts of riverbanks, oceans, lakes. Depending on the story, she's in different bodies of water.
Thank God we live in a drought over here.
Yeah, thank God we live in a desert. and she often also causes misfortune to those who are near.
Great.
So this is one of the most common stories, and then literally half of what I'm covering today is just multiple versions of her.
Sweet.
Because I wanted to make sure, when I did Bloody Mary, and then I also did, I'm going to fuck it up, the Aswangs.
Yeah, I am not going to chime in because I also get it wrong.
What, the Philippine folklore.
Yeah.
A lot of people would then personally write to me and say like, hey, this was my version and it didn't get covered. So,
and that happened with Bloody Mary too, right? Like a lot of people said it was different in their life, in their childhood.
Right. So I'm going to cover as many versions as I can. So everyone feels included.
Not everyone.
There's going to be someone who emails me being like, excuse me.
And I really apologize, but
are you okay? You got lines on your head.
Oh, really?
It looks like someone kissed you. Does it hurt? It looks like a ghost kissed you.
Yeah, it feels hot, but I don't know what it is.
It literally looks like a lip mark.
Ew. No, I don't like that.
Do you see it, Eva?
It feels like scratches, but I don't know what it would be.
It's La Llorona. Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. It's okay. We'll see if it gets worse as I tell the story.
Great. Ew, I don't want it.
It's fine. Too late.
You keep bringing this shit into my house.
Listen, someone else shipped you a box of haunted dolls, okay?
Shipped us, to be fair. I just get to house them.
Listen, when we started this podcast, you said, let's record at my place. And that is how things came to be, all right?
You're right. Your punishment is the commute and mine is the demonic dolls.
Right. And we all know whose is worse, mine. So,
I mean, yeah, this is LA. You're right. You're being punished more than I am.
I have to pay gas to come here.
That is very fair. I have to pay with my soul, but, you know, same thing.
Same difference,
in
really.
In LA, it really is the same thing.
It's like, oh, an Exxon or, my soul, I guess. That's what I'll pay with today. So, okay, so this is the most common version I could find. In a rural village, there lived a young woman named Maria. Maria came from a poor family, but she was known for her beauty. Apparently, like, no matter who you were, whatever class you were from, everyone was just in love with Maria.
Mm-hmm.
One day...
I get that.
Oh, Christ.
Been there, done that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
One day, a very wealthy man traveled to her village and proposed to her. I don't know if that was, like, right away or if he waited 5 minutes.
just right away.
He proposed to her, and his father was extremely disappointed that he was marrying into poverty.
Oh, no.
Clearly, the story was in a place where classism was, like,
alive
very,
and well.
Very, very alive and well. Maria and her new husband built a house in the village to keep away from his father, who was not proud to have had his son marry her. Eventually, Maria gave birth to twins. Every story changes. Either it's a boy and a girl, or two girls, or two boys.
Why do we have to gender them?
Thank you. It could just be two babies.
They're definitely twin babies.
So
baby twins would be so cute, though.
That would be precious. Like, oh, who's who? Who knows?
They're the... Never mind. I was going to make more jokes, and I was like, I'm not allowed to make these jokes, so let's move on.
I mean, all of my kids are clearly going to be babies. Sure. So it's going to be quite a toss-up. We can just play, like, a guessing game every time you meet them. It's like, oh, like, what do you think?
Which one's which? Who knows?
Until they tell us one day, let's just play a guessing game. So eventually, Marie gave birth to twin babies, and her husband was always traveling, and when he would come home, he'd only pay attention to the children, and Maria was not having it.
That's sad.
She felt like he was falling out of love with her, and one day, he just never came back. Years later, Maria and the twin babies were walking by a river when she saw her husband with a younger woman and another baby.
No! Maria, I bet you that was just a regular baby, because he wasn't... He wasn't up to the...
That one was just stereotyped from the start.
Cultural
so, norms. So, Maria was like, fuck heteronormativity. And... No, I don't know.
Oh, I was like, whoa.
Wow, Maria's got the words
Fun
on her.
Twist.
So, Maria was...
Say that in Spanish, Em.
No.
Okay.
So, Maria was so angry and confused...
Oh, poor thing.
...that she went into a blind rage. She picked up her two children, and she threw them in the river.
Oh, no.
And
that's not good.
And she drowned her babies.
No, that's no way to handle this
situation.
Hate
crime! No, it was just out of spite for her husband.
It was just a crime.
It was just a crime. Oh. Just like a horrible, like, infanticide crime.
Terrible. Terrible.
So, only after she saw their bodies floating in the river...
Oh, for fuck's sake.
...she realized what she had done, and so she also jumped in the river to save them. At that point, they had already died.
Oh,
rest in peace. And she also passed away, but at the gates of heaven.
Oh, she drowned.
Apparently, she's going to heaven, according to the stories.
She at least got to the outside gates.
She got into the neighborhood.
So did she drown as well?
Like, yeah, she drowned trying to, like, I guess, go fish her kids out. And God, so...
Terrible.
At the gates of, I guess, heaven, she was challenged about where her kids were, because they all died, but only she showed up at heaven.
Oof.
And she was told she is not allowed to have an afterlife until she has found her children.
Oh, that just gave me the chills.
So now she spends eternity looking for her kids in the river.
Ugh!
It is said...
Ugh, it's so dark.
It is said that if you hear her crying, you are to run the opposite way, obviously.
Yeah.
And she could bring misfortune or even death. So a lot of parents, apparently, in Mexico and Guatemala, which is what I'm finding on the internet, not what I'm just... deciding. I don't want anyone thinking I'm like saying something stereotypical. What I have found on Google, many parents in Mexico and Guatemala apparently use the story to scare their children from staying out too late.
So, like, nice. It sounds like German parents. Clearly they're all the same. Like telling these fucking horror stories to small children.
In some versions of the tale, La Llorona kidnaps wandering children.
Oh god.
And they don't even have to be near water. She will then ask them for forgiveness and then kill them.
Oh, I don't like that.
In some stories, she will kill them right on the spot. In some stories, she will drag them to the nearest body of water and drown them. But apparently, she is drowning these children to replace hers and hoping that those souls
with her
will give her the afterlife.
Oh, God, this is really spooky.
People who claim to have seen her say that she appears at night by rivers or lakes. But others have said that they see her in jungles. Like, apparently in Brazil, there's another version of her that's in the jungle. Amongst her... crying, she has been, people have witnessed her screaming, my children, my children.
Ugh.
So, that's the most common version, apparently.
Okay.
Now I'm just going to run through the...
I think that's the one I've heard, like the basic versions. One that I've heard.
I think they're all more or less the same, just with different twists.
Okay.
In the Guatemalan version,
mm-hmm.
It said that her screaming, she's very much like, it has the same concept of the Aswang.
Mm.
Whatever, how that's pronounced. If you hear her far away, she's actually closer to you to, like...
Oh, like, to, like, trick you?
To trick you, to think that you're safe. And if you hear the sound close to you, you're like, actually... It's actually farther away.
So you're, like, relieved. Oh, so she wants you to run. I don't like it. Like, toward her. Ew.
So, she's actually near when she sounds distant. She's actually distant when she sounds near.
Good.
Another version of the legend is that those who do not treat their families well will see her and she will teach them a lesson.
Oh.
So she doesn't have, you don't even have to hear her crying to come find her. She will find you.
Now that's the parent twist of like, how can I make this more?
You better respect me or else
you'll be taken away. La
Llorona is coming.
I mean, yeah, it makes more sense for like a child to like keep them in line, I guess.
So also there is an Arizona version.
Interesting.
Where a woman named Lana, she lived with her husband and two children, felt that her husband was paying more attention to her children than her, and so she pushed them over the edge of a canyon and then jumped herself.
What the fuck?
So interesting that they chose, like, a place with definitely more desert, and they're like, oh, a canyon instead of a river.
Right, sure. Like, we don't have water here.
It's like, how could we make this an obvious kill? So,
shit, that's a horrible...
There's another common version of, instead of being named Maria or Lana... She is Louisa, and she marries, or she wants to marry a man named Don Muno, and they were of different social classes. They fell in love, but Don could not imagine actually marrying someone of Louisa's peasantry stature, apparently. So he decides that he loves her enough to keep her as a mistress.
Wow, that's so thoughtful and generous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chivalry isn't dead.
Right. No.
But Don's about to be, so...
Now that should be the tagline for the movie.
So Don stopped visiting Louisa and her children, because he did give her kids,
He right. bestowed them upon her.
Bestowed the gift, yes. Right.
Such a gentleman.
So he had kids with her, but was like, I'm not going to marry you.
Okay.
Let her live in like a little off house on his like property.
Oh my God.
But he had his own home to himself. And one day Louise actually went to the main house to ask him personally why he stopped coming to see the children. And when she arrived, she found out that she was showing up on the day of Don's wedding to another woman of his class.
Oh no.
And so, okay. So she was just so mad and didn't know how else to like get her point across that he didn't own her anymore. So she drowned her children. Since they were somehow associated with him.
Cool. Okay. Great.
Healthy.
Fantastic.
So another legend says that it was not actually the woman or La Llorona herself who drowned the children, but it was actually the father in an attempt to hide the fact that he was cheating on his wife.
Had like a mistress and other kids. Oh my God.
Another version is that she was originally, when she was alive, standing at an altar. And she was like standing next to her husband, and the priest requested, they had some deal, the priest and the husband had some deal where the priest was going to have their firstborn son and have him welcomed into the priesthood. Like they had already agreed that their son would become a priest once they had their firstborn son.
That's fun for the boy.
Thanks, priest.
Thanks, priest. Oh, you're back.
So
I missed that one.
She agreed, not knowing that when she finally got pregnant, she wouldn't want to give her son up. She also ended up having multiple other children, and she just didn't want to get rid of them. And so either it was her or someone else or someone caused a fire where all of them burned down to the ground.
Oh my God. Okay.
So either the
fire, that's a new
either
one.
The priests burnt down the house since they weren't willing to, since she wasn't willing to give them her children or to protect her children from the priesthood. I don't know, like to keep them from having to go.
Like, by force.
Right, by force. She burnt down the house and left them in there.
I mean, reasonable one way or the other, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, no matter what, it makes sense.
It's called healthy problem solving.
Right. So, that's another way.
That's an interesting one. Wait, you said Dawn dies. Did Dawn die in any of those?
Yeah. So, apparently, she drowned her kids in the river, went back and killed him.
Oh, whoa, okay. Sure.
Right. Sure, I just thought that went by itself. that was just, like, self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Fucked up thing. In the fire version, apparently La Llorona survived.
Oh, no.
And she was severely burned and actually later was called Donkey Girl.
What?
Because the burns were so severe that her face had horse-like, donkey-like features.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
So she was also known... in some stories as Donkey Girl.
Yeah, really fucked up.
Yeah, so we are just sliding past that.
We're just sprinkling on more fun facts.
Right.
Left and right.
Another version is that, again, there was a set of twins, and they were so identical. They were both twin girls in this case, and they were both so identical that when they went to go get baptized, the priest accidentally baptized one of the babies twice, thinking that he baptized both of them. He just forgot which one.
They like mixed them up.
Right. So there was human error and one of them was not baptized. One of them was baptized twice.
Does that cancel it out or no?
I think it's like two rights make a double right. I'll have to ask God.
Let me know what he says.
Well, over the years, apparently both twins grew up and got married, but the one that was baptized found actual love and true happiness and had kids and all this other splendor. And the twin that got skipped by the priest, hashtag thanks priest, she never found any happiness. What? She married out of obligation. And when she gave birth to both her son and daughter, she did not love either of them. And she drowned them out of resentment.
Right, because that's what happens when you're not baptized into the faith.
Right, I wasn't baptized in...
It's a really subtle...
Where are my kids?
Uh-oh. I mean, talk about, like, a subtle lesson that you're teaching in Sunday school. Like, Jesus. But by the way, like, that wasn't even there... It's not like she chose not to be baptized, so she got a terrible life. It's like...
She was like, I'm sorry, I just don't love you.
It was just like... Blink. But it was like, oh, the priest accidentally messed up. It's not like...
I know.
She chose this life.
Well...
Whatever.
Apparently, I don't know.
It's messed up.
It was fate.
I suppose it is.
So another common version is that, again, the woman's name is Maria. Her beauty just enamors all men. And in the evenings, she apparently would dress up and she would go out and flirt with all of the men that were just crazy about her. But she was neglecting her two small sons that were at home. And basically those two sons ended up drowned in the river. And they think that maybe... Maria did it so that she wouldn't have to feel responsibility for them, and she could go hit. Yeah, she'd go hit on some guys.
Oh, okay. That sounds very shamey.
Oh yeah. And then also,
she just wanted to flirt with guys. Okay.
And she didn't want to have anything back at home keeping her, like, holding her down.
Back.
And so she drowned them, but then apparently she regretted it, and she stayed up all night and didn't eat while she was searching for her sons in the river. She ended up dying on the riverbanks, and she was so skinny because she was not eating that she, like, slowly starved herself to death and died on the riverbanks.
Good. Fabulous.
And then I think this is the last version, is that a poor woman and a poor man got married and started having kids, and they couldn't afford to feed all of them, so the husband just started drowning them.
Oh, good.
After giving birth to their fifth child, the husband threw the baby in the river, and the woman went in after the baby, and both of them drowned.
Oh my God.
And then from there on out, the woman haunted the river.
I mean, I fucking would too, let's be real.
So some say that she kills men, women, and children, but the most common story throughout is that she only kills children.
Wow. I think it's interesting that there's a twist that the man does it, because, like, that, I feel like inherently the story I've heard is that, like, she did it, and then, like, she's coming after...
Maybe only, like, feminist communities. Like,
they're like, it's like, the husband did it.
The man did it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting twist. I hadn't heard that before.
Mm-hmm. So, La Llorona. I just keep making sure I'm, like, saying... I literally wrote it phonetically at the top, so I, like, don't fuck it up. So there are a lot of origins about, like, where this story actually came from.
Right.
Some of them are from, like, several hundred years ago. the story is apparently in America come from more the Southwest, and they've gone as far as the Yellowstone River. Mainly it is obviously a Hispanic folklore, although it has been traced back to German folklore.
What? Of course. Why am I surprised?
In 1486.
A lot of the fucked up shit comes from down there or up there.
So apparently there are traces of that. Also, the earliest reference to a weeping woman dates back to 1502. When an Aztec girl named La Malinche fell for the conquistador Cortez, and Cortez decided that he was going to travel back to Spain, and he also decided without her permission that he was going to take their two sons with him.
Oh no.
But she was not down with it, and so she dragged her sons to the river and killed them before he could ever kidnap them.
Whoa.
From her.
Okay, that one is really twisted, because there's, like,
and that's a very common
historical backstory, like he was taking them back to his home country, and ooh, that's twisted.
And that's actually a common the fact that it has an Aztec element to it, or that it's been traced back to that time. That's a very common origin.
Really?
Another one is in the 16th century. The Florentine Codex is, like, a historical account. I'm actually going to, I think, be doing a story about that.
I've never heard of that. Codex? That sounds like...
Don't look it up.
I won't, but it sounds very like modern day, the Codex. Sounds like something... It sounds like CODIS, that's why.
Probably, but also there's the one that I'm talking about. It's not the same one, I don't think, but there's a book that I actually really, really, really have wanted for a long time, but it's literally like hundreds of dollars.
What is it?
It's called, I think it's called Codex.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Or I'm probably fucking it up now that I'm like just, I think I've heard the word enough that I'm putting it in my head. But there's a book where like they found forever ago and they've got, it's got all these weird symbols that no one can still crack, but it's apparently about the future.
Oh, fuck yeah. So let's get a copy, please.
That's the one I'm thinking of that I'm going to eventually do a story about.
Let's circle back to Patreon. Hello.
Hello. I have looked at this book for the last, like, 5 years, and it's been in my cart on Amazon for, like, several years.
You want to see M sleeping? Because pay us $5, and we will get you that content.
If you get me that book, I will FaceTime you personally, and you can watch me sleep all you want.
M will sleep all the time.
So, yeah, it has connections and relations to Aztec origins. And then also there are more Aztec elements in that La Llorona could actually be two different Aztec goddesses from the Florentine Codex.
Ooh.
This was obviously not the same book now that I'm thinking about it, because this one has clearly been translated and people know what's going on in it.
So the other one's truly like a mysterious.
It's like a totally different book. I think that, just ignore everything I just said about that. It's
My God.
Because it has nothing to do with this story, basically.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it sounds like this book, which is why I thought about it.
Okay.
But anyway, the Florentine Codex, which is its own entirely different thing, talks about, like, the general history of Aztec something. Like, just, like, I guess, like, an Aztec history
mythology
book,
or something?
Yeah. There are two Aztec goddesses in it that could be La Llorona, which comes from around the same time as the previous origin that suggests that she has Aztec elements. So,
okay.
The two goddesses that she could be are names that I truly will fuck up. But phonetically, it looks like Siaukotl and Chalchiatilaku. I know I'm wrong.
I don't know it any better, so I'm not even going to look.
So the former, she is described as a savage beast and an evil omen who appeared in white. And she would walk at night weeping and wailing. Mm. And she's linked to the 6th of 10 omens as the voice of a woman heard wailing at night, crying about the fate of her children.
Okay.
The latter, she was the goddess of the waters and the elder sister of the rain god. And she's also described as one who has feared and caused terror. And she is said to drown people and overturn boats. And ceremonies in her honor involved children sacrifices. And the more successful the sacrifice, or the more terror and crying that came out of the children, suggested how successful the sacrifice and the their prayers were.
What the fuck? Okay.
So she could be one of those two because they both have elements
sure.
of
okay.
her story. So they're like, okay, could be one.
Could be the origin. One
yeah.
Of the, okay.
Or a combination of both over time or something. La Llorona could also be a version of a Greek myth. She could be the queen of Libya, which Zeus had an affair with, who Zeus had an affair with. And when Zeus's wife Hera found out about the affair, her name in this, the queen of Libya's name was Lamia.
Okay.
So La Llorona could be Lamia, who had an affair with Zeus. And when Zeus's wife Hera found out, Hera turned Lamia into a demonic demigod forced to eat her own children.
Oh, no.
And then forced her to walk the earth and eat every other child that came her way.
My God.
So those are all the origins, or all the different places where people could have like picked and pulled information to create
like
what is
story.
Today
right.
La Llorona.
Okay.
Although the Aztec origin is the most common, because also since they say La Llorona brings misfortune if you hear about her or if she's nearby, apparently.
Oh, you tell me now. Thanks.
Okay. Well, apparently in the Aztec world, I forget which one of those two goddesses, but apparently, the first one, the Kiuakotl.
Mm-hmm. Glad we're saying it again.
Yikes. She's the 6th of 10 omens, and after that happened, the Aztecs were invaded or taken over.
Okay.
So it's like proof that, like, she's been misfortunate since the beginning, if that's who she is.
I see. Okay. Oh, I see.
Like, they think, like...
You mean after she... Oh, no, that was a goddess. Hold on. Oh, I thought you meant the Aztec story of the woman Cortez and the woman throwing her
babies. No. No, because that sounds similar. Cortez and Kiowakotl or something.
Really?
I don't know.
Really similar.
I don't know. But so that particular goddess, because she, in the story, after people found out about her or something, Aztec was overthrown.
She's still like...
The Aztecs were overthrown.
Has like the negative
connotation. Yeah, and so since then, she brings misfortune or something like that.
I see. Okay.
I don't know. I'm probably not selling it right.
I think the one of the lady throwing her babies off the cliff and because he was going to take them away.
The Arizona one.
No, sorry. The one, the Aztec one where Cortez was going to take the kids back home.
Oh, okay.
That one is like, to me, somehow like the most... Like the realistic sounding story.
Right.
Compared to all the like mythology.
That one was 1502.
That really freaked me out for some reason.
I could believe that one too. And also it's like relatively like late enough in history and like close enough to our time where it's like that story seems like the least likely to have been tampered with.
Like completely fabricated or whatever. I just think that story and it sounds the most like straightforward and realistic of like... She was desperate to keep her kids, and if she couldn't have them, no one could have them.
Right. It just seems like you don't have to explain too much. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, this happened.
Yeah, that's scary.
So, when people do witness La Llorona, she is described as tall, thin, beautiful, long, flowing black hair, and wearing a white gown. She roams the rivers and creeks and wails into the night searching for her children, or searching for children in general to drag down to the water.
To replace them. Ooh.
Some say that La Llorona looks non-human and blank. The face is blank with no features at all. No eyes, no nose, no mouth to scream from.
Ugh! I was just telling everybody in Facebook Live my earliest memories of this nightmare I had of being in my mom's bed and she turned around to face me and she had no face. And that's like my earliest memory. So I don't like that one.
But... Earliest memory is just... It's creepy because you're not saying your earliest dream.
No, my earliest memory, because I remember waking up and I was still like sleeping in a laundry basket at the time.
You are trash. What happened to you in your childhood?
My mom was like, I don't know.
I mean, I guess like if you're that she small, it is technically a bed. She put me in a little laundry basket
and she wanted to put it next to her bed, but not in the bed because that's how you crush babies.
I feel like in 2018, that sounds like you shouldn't do that. But also when you think about it, like...
No, it's like it a mini crib.
Practically, yeah, it's a bed. It's a place you can throw a couple blankets down. Like, I had a down.
Crib, but my mom would sometimes put me in her room next to the bed.
It's just a portable crib. Yeah. I get it. Okay, I'm not against it. I took a journey. I'm there.
From your trash to, okay, I guess I could see it.
It was like your trash, and then I was like, me as a parent, like, oh, I'll probably do that, though, so I guess it's not horrible.
I mean, it's better than putting them in the bed, which is how... But in my dream, I was in the bed, and then I woke up in my laundry basket.
Yikes!
And I was like, ah! Anyway.
Oh, Christ. Okay, so... Yeah, so the face has no features at all.
I don't like it.
Just a blank face. Others say that there are eyes, a nose, and a mouth, but they're all elongated and protruding in the shape of a donkey or horse.
Oh, no, not this again.
From the fire story.
That is upsetting.
She is said to have been seen drifting between trees along the shoreline or floating across the current. On dark nights, people see her walking along the riverbank by herself, and children are warned not to go out in the dark, because La Llorona might snatch them up and throw them into the river. So there are a couple different witnesses. There's one guy named Patricio. And as a boy in New Mexico, he and his parents saw out in the woods a tall, thin woman walking along the creek.
Mm-mm.
She floated over the water towards them and vanished. And then moments later reappeared much closer to them.
Oh, no. This sounds like the actual movie that's coming out.
And disappeared again.
Yeah, fuck no.
Another guy, his name was Epifanio. And he and his brothers got into a big fight with their parents. And remember, there's the storyline or the version where it's like, oh, she'll also, like, if you disrespect your parents, she'll come get you.
Oh, yeah.
So he was in a fight with his parents, with his brothers. And all of him and his brothers decided to leave the ranch. And they took the horse and carriage. And while they were running away, they were visited by a tall woman with a black net over her face.
Oh.
And she showed up by sitting between two of them on the carriage.
Oh, no.
She said nothing at all and stared at them, but had totally black eyes. So you couldn't see back at her. You just knew she was staring at you.
Mm-mm.
And she stayed there until Epifanio decided to turn the horse and buggy around and head back home.
Wow.
And at that point, she said, I will visit you again someday if you argue with your mother again, and then vanished.
Oh boy.
In Santa Fe, apparently there is a building called the Public Employees Retirement Association Building, or the PARA Building, and apparently that sits on the land that was once an old Indian Spanish graveyard.
Mm.
near the Santa Fe River, and a lot of people swear that La Llorona has visited them many times in that building.
Oh, gross.
People have seen doors slam, windows open on their own, and they hear crying throughout the halls, and they feel unseen hands pushing them when they're on the stairs.
What? Okay.
Apparently, children who visit the building will also see her and be scared to approach her.
So bring your kids to work day is not fun.
Not, I bet they don't even have that anymore.
That's been canceled forever.
Apparently, some kids in South America actually have a version of hide and seek where the seeker actually plays the role of La Llorona and has to call out for the hiders by saying, "Where are my children?"
Ew, that's so twisted. That's
so much creepier than hide and seek.
It's so much
like, ready or not, here I come. Where are my children?
Here come for my children. Take them into the afterlife.
And finally, in 1986, there was a Mexican woman named Juana, J-U-A-N-A.
Yeah, Juana.
Juana. And she attempted to kill all seven of her children by throwing them into...
All seven?
All seven. By throwing them into the Buffalo Bayou in Houston.
Oh, no.
Apparently, this was...
Oh, no, that's so messed up.
In Texas in 1986.
Oh, in 86?
Yeah. 1986.
Holy shit. Okay.
So recent.
So this is actually documented. This is not a mythology.
This is an actual crime.
Oh, no.
She threw all seven of her kids into the Buffalo Bayou in Houston, Texas.
Oh, my God.
And she was trying to escape her husband from domestic violence.
Oh, no.
And she didn't know what to do with her or her children.
Oh, no.
So she threw them into the bayou. Two of them did not make it. Ugh. The other five survived. And she was only put on 10 months of probation.
Wow.
But during an interview, they asked her why, and she said that she was La Llorona.
Oh, God.
And that was how the interview ended.
Can you imagine your kids, like, most kids get the story of La Llorona, and then your mom's like, "I am La Llorona."
It's like, yeah.
Infinitely worse.
It's like, "I only gave birth to you just to throw you in the river."
That's really, really sad. And, like, just tragic.
Yes.
Fuck.
Yes. And there is a movie also coming up, but that is all the information I have about
life. Oof. Okay. What a story. I only knew the basic version, but I didn't know much about it.
And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. Any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? Maybe your child is too shy to ask questions in front of the entire class, but they can get extra help and positive feedback with IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. From studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. And one subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home pre-K to 12th grade. If your child is struggling, this is the smartest investment you can make. And a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Additionally, IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And That's Why We Drink listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/drink. Visit IXL.com/drink to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. We derailed. You didn't hear any of it, but we went on a wild tangent.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
Yeah.
We were talking about Em's mother.
Yes.
Yes.
And she is a proud, strong, independent woman.
That is one way to put it.
That is one very normalized, conservative
societally acceptable.
I'm probably currently getting a text from my mother right now being like, what were you saying?
My ears are ringing. All right.
Tell me your story.
So actually, this is not my story.
Oh, my. Tell a story.
So I basically segueing, as you would say.
Christ.
Or as the rest of the world says, segueing.
Right.
So last week, which is only we recorded a couple of days ago. The episode that came out today was your when mom's they hear stories.
When they hear today, it's going to be a week later.
Sure. Okay. Sorry.
The episode that came out
last
week. The last Halloween episode.
Halloween 1.0.
Yes.
So M covered their mom's stories, and I had actually a series.
I was going to hope you do this.
I had a series of Renata's stories ready for like a Mother's Day or something, and I was like, I feel like one day we'll need these. And so like after you were telling Linda stories, and I was like, oh my God. Like I
thought about this in the shower. I thought about this today.
I had a feeling you would know because I feel, yeah. So afterward, I like called my mom and I was like, all right, it's go time. Like, because I told her a long time ago, like, I need you to prepare these because I'm going to need them. And so she's like, great, I'm on it. And like literally spent all night writing them. So I was very thankful for that. I was like, I can call and do it. And she's like, I'm going to write them.
She's about to blow my mom right out of the water.
No, I don't think so. I just was like, I thought it would be fun to do them back-to-back-ish.
I thought literally today in the shower, I was trying to figure out my story for today. And I was like, I kind of hope, like, since Halloween 1.0 was my mom's stories, I hope Halloween 2.0 is, like, Christine's stories. But we also never talked about it, so I'm hoping she just knows me on, like, an astral level where, like, she's already preparing it.
I just love that, like, we both know that our moms have stories. And, like, I did think, like, maybe we'll do a Mother's Day thing.
It would have been nice.
But I feel like this is kind of fun, too, because it's, like, a mix and match 2 weeks in a row.
I do feel bad. I feel like it would have been a really wonderful Mother's Day episode to do, like, both of our mom's stories in one.
Well, now they're talked about.
But, I fucked it up, so whoops.
Multiple episodes they get mentioned.
They have time to experience more true crime and paranormal now.
Right.
Yay!
Between now and May, they can gather up some stories.
Get on it, Linda and Renata.
All right. So my mom sent 2 paranormal and 2 true crime.
I'm
just like your mama.
So excited.
Yours was similar, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we did a little weaving with mine. Should we do a little weaving with yours?
Yeah, let's do a little weaveroonie. also, I just love that I knew I was going to bring up my mom's story, so I knew she's going to listen to this episode. So when you were like, I was like, oh, I was in a laundry basket, and you're like, you're trash. I was like, I'm going to not hear the end of this from Renata.
It's okay. We recovered by the end, Renata. I support you.
Yeah. Don't worry, Renata. We know you weren't.
I'm not one to talk. My mom let me choke on a strawberry when I was 2, so...
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, like, not all moms are perfect.
Except you, Mom. You're perfect.
One time, I want to hear how my mom's not perfect?
Yeah, always.
One of my mom's most guilty memories of, like, parenting me wrong was when I was young enough to, like, be going to the grocery store with her and standing on the back of the cart.
Right.
Like, holding, like, standing my feet. I was on the opposite side of the handles.
Right.
And I was standing on the back and holding the actual cart to keep myself up. And my mom wasn't paying attention, and she... After we had left the grocery store, I was holding on the cart with all the groceries in the cart, and we were walking. She was rolling me back to the driveway or back to the parking lot to get in the car, and she didn't see the curb, and so she rolled the cart off the curb, and so like obviously it wasn't a smooth landing, and so I got thrown off the cart with the cart full of groceries landing on top of me.
Oh, good.
And there were apparently a bunch of people around that saw it happen, because my only memory is being like having ice cream that was too cold lying on top of me, and there's just like a sea of plastic bags, and I hear my mom going, she's fine, she's fine.
Nothing to see here.
That's all I remember.
Amazing.
Anyway, so Renata, do not feel bad now. I am also trash.
Okay. I'm just never gonna hear the end of it. Okay. All right, so let's start with like a little paranormal Rooney story.
Oh yeah,
paranormal Rooney.
Halloween 2.0.
That is right.
Oh,
so,
whoa.
This story begins. This story takes place in 1969. okay, so she wrote these to me. I mean, I know them, but she wrote them in like first person, so I'm trying to figure out the best way to share them. So I'm just going to say them in third person.
Sure.
Okay. So, my mom and her mother were and her siblings were on their way from her hometown of Heidenheim to her grandmother's home. Nope, incorrect. I already messed up.
No, I did it last time too. You have to figure out the voice.
I'm like trying to, yeah.
Because I hear it in my mom's voice, but I think it in my voice. So
yeah,
do I say it?
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So my mom and her siblings were on their way from their grandma's house to their home in Bavaria in 1969. And she had, at this point, I think there were six of them. So she was one of six at this point. And there were eight total in the end. But
okay, I didn't know if it was going to be like more or less kids by the end of the
oh,
story.
Oh, God. Oh, I didn't even think about like, that.
Like currently six. I'm not going to ask, but fingers crossed.
Oh. So it was foggy and snowy. Her mom was trying to keep the car like on the road, and it was really like a nerve-wracking drive because it was like middle of winter at nighttime, and they drove this old car with mattresses in the back. And there were six of them, so the car didn't have seatbelts. It just wasn't made that way. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was sitting in the front holding her little sister on her lap, and the rest of the kids were in the back of the car, like on the mattresses. And
okay.
No comment.
I don't know if that's just like a different time where it would have also been like that in
the
America?
Countryside, you know?
Or is this also...
I think in the countryside, like back then in the 60s, like you didn't wear seatbelt. Like, I mean...
Sure.
I don't imagine...
Did everyone have mattresses in their cars, or was this just like a personal family thing?
I think they were just... I don't know if it was like a truck, like they were, I don't know, maybe not.
It's just an interesting sight. That's all.
I don't know.
I'm enjoying it so far.
I don't know. I'm sure she's going to text me and say I said it wrong, but whatever. So the kids were napping in the back. I think it was just like a late night drive. So they were napping in the back. And all of a sudden her mom screamed Papa or like Daddy and slammed on the brakes. So my mom got like pretty injured because she was thrown up into the front of the car and she was holding the baby. So she was trying to protect the baby. So she like took most of the force and hit on her right shoulder. But the other kids had been wrapped in blankets and coats and like hats because it was winter time. So they were like cushioned from the blow,
right,
I guess.
Right.
And so they had slammed on and like all the kids were kind of thrown up front again, no seatbelts. But they started the car. So her mom started the car again and was like shaken up, but was just like, everything's fine.
What was she saying stop to?
She didn't yell stop. She yelled Papa or like Daddy and slammed on the brakes. And all the kids were like, what's going on?
Oh,
but they were so little that her mom was just like, don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
Got it.
So they just kept kind of driving. My grandma was driving really slow. And so she started the car again and was driving. And then all of a sudden the car hit something, like drove directly into something. And it was so blizzardy and like dark out that they couldn't figure out what they just hit. So my mom got out of the car with her mom. She was one of the oldest. And they walked kind of around the car and were trying to feel for it until they walked right into like a, my mom called it like a street roller, they flattened the tar like a steamroller type thing. Like they were supposed to make the roads basically.
They hit that and didn't see it?
Drove into it.
Oh my God.
It was like one of those massive construction machines. and my grandma just started like, she broke down and started crying and sobbing and like talking to her dad who had passed away a year before in 1968. So she was crying and my mom was like, what's going on? And her mom said when she slammed on the brakes, her dad had appeared in front of the car and yelled, halt sofort das Auto an, or like, stop the car right now. And so she slammed on the brakes and yelled like, dad, like just so taken aback.
Okay.
And then like a few feet later is when they like kind of rolled into the, like, cause they couldn't see. So they rolled into steamroller thing. So she's like, he stopped the car like maybe 10 feet before the construction vehicle.
So like they bumped into it. Like,
yeah, they bumped into
but
it.
But had he not been there, they would have just crashed
into it. So they were going, you know, down like a fast road. So she said they'd slammed it on the brakes and her dad had kind of appeared to her. And then she says, she made me promise not to tell anybody because she was afraid people would call her a witch. So again, that's the small town they lived in the 60s.
And I've met Renata enough, so I hear how she said that.
So matter of fact.
She said it so matter of fact without smiling either.
It's not fun. It's just like the way that it is.
She's like, well, we couldn't, you know, because they would think she's a witch.
And then I'm like, that's ridiculous. And she's like, it's not.
Nope. They would think she was a witch.
Yeah. So then my grandma thanked her dad. And I mean, my grandma was young at the time too. Like even though she already had six kids, she was probably in her like 30s. So she was young. And she said, don't tell anyone. And then she thanked him and said, thank you for saving us. And from that day on, apparently, she talked to him all the time and was like, he's always
cool.
Like here. He was probably like, Jesus Christ, I have to keep an eye on you, I guess. I don't know. And so she talked to him all the time and felt like he was always with her after that. So that was one story. And then should we do a little crimey poo?
Yeah.
Okay, let's turn the tables here. So both of the crime stories I'm featured in. Not featured, I'm just a guest appearance.
Oh my goodness, okay.
I'm an extra in...
Were you in the original story or did you just throw yourself in?
What if I just wrote myself in?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're a writer by trade, so...
Christine saved everyone's life at the end. No, I was actually there. I don't remember either one. Okay, so let's go to 1994.
Can I ask, were either of these when she got robbed when you guys were in the van, or when someone broke into your house and she told you guys to play a game?
So one of them is the van story.
Okay.
And then one of them is one of those stories, but a different one.
Oh, God.
The one where I remember where we were like, where my mom like hit us and stuff, that was
later. Was it in that house?
It was in a different house.
Okay, got it.
But it was a similar story, but not the same one. This one I didn't actually know about.
Okay.
I'll tell that one. In 1994, so my parents own a restaurant called Cafe Vienna, which I showed you when we were in Cincinnati briefly. Yeah. And it was like a duplex, so it was like a big brick building in Mount Adams. On the left was our house, and then attached to the build, like on the right was the restaurant. And then in the attic, she said, so we tore down the brick wall... Or they did to like kind of have access to the other side of the building because they own the whole thing. But she said we broke through the brick wall, but I think she means they just kind of
got
tore
it
down. So anyway, they had torn down that part of the brick wall so they could kind of check on, so she could go upstairs and check in on us while we were sleeping from the restaurant. So she could walk in upstairs. So one night my dad was out of town and my mom and everybody had a huge weekend at the cafe, like business wise. And as always, she took the money home so she could drop it. So like the cash home so she could drop it off at the bank on Monday.
By home, you mean like across the hall?
Yes. Like to our home. Yeah, exactly. So she was sleeping on the third floor and we were in our beds and she heard something on the second floor where the kitchen was. And then heard voices, and she said she was, her heart started beating like crazy. I mean, at this point, she's probably 29, like she was pretty young. And then she heard somebody talking about money and that it had to be here somewhere. So someone was in house, like not the restaurant side, but like our
side. So like the home kitchen, not the restaurant kitchen.
Yes, yeah, our home kitchen, saying the money has to be here somewhere. So she grabs us, my brother and me, took the fire door from our bedroom into the office. She couldn't lock it because the lock was like on the outside of the door. So she just kind of like shut it and hoped nobody would open it. So then she heard them walking up the stairs to the third floor where we were hiding. And she heard voices below her in the cafe as well. So it was like, because there was like crossover. So she heard voices in the cafe below her. And the cafe had been closed for several hours already. So it couldn't have been the employees like hanging out after work or anything like that. So then she writes, the kids were awake and eerily quiet.
Ugh.
I told them to be quiet, but Alexander was only 4 months old. He just smiled at me. So, okay.
Yikes.
She said, I took the kids and crawled with them behind some wainscoting that was slightly open behind some cardboard boxes and hid in the wall under the roof. It was totally dark and freezing cold because it was February. The kids cuddled up to me and fell asleep. And then she waited for hours, like 7:30 the next morning, before she was brave enough to leave behind the wall. She went downstairs. They had broken into the kitchen through the window, like on the second story.
On the second story?
I think so. She said the kitchen was on the second floor. So I was...
Wow.
I think... Okay, sorry. I think the second floor was like... I think there was like a basement apartment. And I think she's thinking like 1, 2, 3 because we rented out the basement.
Got it.
Okay. They had broken into the kitchen through the window. And at the cafe, they broke in through a side door. So there was like one group of people that came into our house and one group.
Ew, so there was like two sets of people who agreed to rob it at the same time.
Yeah, who came in from two sides.
Yuck. Yeah. Where was your dad?
He was out of town.
Ugh.
He was like traveling.
Did you ever find out who it was? I'm sure you're going to tell me. Sorry, go ahead.
We'll find out. So she said we would have been completely trapped between both groups of people because they were coming in from both sides. And she couldn't like go from there into the cafe and escape because they were...
I imagine whoever did it, though, like, knew that a family was there. Like, I'm surprised they didn't go look at the rooms or anything.
Yeah, well, so she says, I never found out who it was, but I installed cameras and changed all the locks, too. I know it was somebody and their friends who worked for me because they knew they knew that I'd take the money home after a weekend shift. So she's like, they were in our side of the house in the kitchen saying the money's here somewhere. So they, like, they knew it was there.
And they knew there was a lot of cash still worked for her afterwards.
Yeah. And so she's like, I think they knew. The police came. They told her that they're lucky that she was able to hide and that they didn't come looking for her. Like, again, like you said, probably knowing we were upstairs, like just didn't come looking for us and like threaten for money or anything like that. She said they just kind of left after they couldn't find the money. She said she made sure that everybody who worked for her knew from then on that the money would never be in the house again, at, like after a weekend of work. And she said, the funny thing is, I forgot about the money. I was so rattled and scared for the kids that 3 years later when we moved, I found approximately $3,000 in an ice bucket on top of the living room cabinet. So I guess that's where it was. And they couldn't find it. I don't
know.
So she found $3,000 a few years later. I guess that's a good end to the story. Okay, so the second paranormal story is my favorite story of all. So I think I'm going to save that one if that's cool and just do one more true crime one.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and then end on the paranormal one.
Yeah!
Because the true crime one's kind of upsetting, and I do vaguely remember this, so...
Okay. Do you remember fear?
No, because I remember... sounds ridiculous, but every time something like this happened, my mom was just super good at being like, oh, it's just fun. They're just not... You know, everything's fine. Like, we're just so good at being like...
But in real life, she should have been, like, shitting her pants?
Yeah, like, she was, but, like, she tried to play it off as for us as kids, like, everything's fine. Which, looking back, is, like...
Very brave.
What a hero. Yeah, because I remember... I mean, I was talking to my therapist about this recently of, like, my anxiety is really bad, and then when something happens, I'm the first person to be like, everybody don't, like, we'll figure this out. Like, the first person to be kind of the voice of reason. And I feel like that was my mom's very, like, instinct, too, of, like,
make sure they're not freaked out. Yeah, she definitely raised you to do that.
I guess that maybe is where it comes from. Okay, so this is Christmas Eve, 1995.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. And a happy Halloween.
So, let's see. So my mom had spent the couple nights before Christmas sorting through all the toys that my brother and I had because she was planning on dropping off a couple boxes at the free store, like the...
Goodwill?
Like a Goodwill, like a free store in Cincinnati.
Like a donation center.
Like a donation center, exactly. And so she had been going through all the toys, and she had heard on the radio that the local free store didn't have enough toys, so she... you know, collected a bunch of ours that we didn't need anymore and was getting ready to donate them downtown. And the cafe, the restaurant had just closed for the holidays. So she grabbed my brother and me, put us in the minivan. And then this is what she has to say. Yes, I had a minivan. Shamefully so. Thank goodness it was leased. I gave it back after 2 years. Hated that thing. Parking in Mount Adams was a challenge. Anyway. Okay, we get it.
Good commentary.
You didn't like having a minivan. Okay, so she gave it back. Blah, blah, blah. On the way to the free store, my brother and I were in our car seats in the back. And basically what you would do is you would drive in and park and they would help unload the car and then you would drive back out. So you didn't need to like get out and carry the boxes. Like there were people, volunteers or employees who would take the stuff out of the car for you. So she didn't know they had closed at noon already. So they weren't open when we arrived. So we drove in, stopped, and suddenly four guys jumped the car. So one was on each side of us in the back seat, like at the passenger doors in the back, and one was in the front and then one like in front of the car so she couldn't drive and one was at her driver's side window. So they kind of surrounded the car and the guy at her side at the window had a gun and said, roll the window down. And in the meantime, the others opened all the car doors and climbed into the car and sat in the front seat. And then the other two sat in the back with my brother or me and just like climbed in.
Yuck.
My mom told them to get everything they wanted. She said, you can have the car, you can have the car seats, just let us walk away. Like, we're not gonna do anything. Alexander was two and he thought it was really funny. And that is what I remember. I remember him laughing and being like, is this funny? Like, I don't really know why he's laughing. And my brother started just kind of talking and babbling and I was reading a book and I didn't, apparently my mom says she didn't pay any attention. Okay. So my mom said she stayed calm and said, what do you want? You know, I have my purse. Oh, the guy said, your purse or your wallet. So she searched everywhere for her purse or her wallet and couldn't find it. And I remember her telling me this and she was like, I was getting hysterical. Like I had my purse. You can have it. But she couldn't find her purse or her wallet anywhere. She's like, I brought it. I know it's here somewhere. Maybe I forgot it. And he basically made her like lift up to see if she was like hiding it, and still couldn't find it. So she started getting nervous and the guy's like getting agitated, like, just give me your wallet. And she was like, please just leave. Like, we just want to get out. We'll get out of the car. You can have the car. And I said, maybe it's under the seat. So they looked under the seats, couldn't find her wallet. She said, I didn't cry because I didn't want to upset the kids. And eventually, after like several minutes, they just gave up and were like, we can't find her purse or wallet. So they just peaced out. She called the police. She got home, called the police, and they said, they told her she was stupid for going downtown alone. And they didn't let her file charges because it was on Christmas. She shouldn't have gone downtown and expected anything
that
different.
That is trash.
Yeah. Yeah. Which actually, like, I remember you visited recently and we were talking about, like, how I was saying how different it was. Like, we used to not be able to go downtown because shit like this happened. And it's so different now. Like, city, it's just very gentrified and built
up.
Well,
no, because Allison and I were walking around and we were like, where the fuck is this dangerous part that Christine kept telling us about? And we were like, was she being dramatic? And I was like, I don't think so, but maybe we're just in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure it out because every part that we were in that we remembered a story of you telling is so different now.
It's so different. And like the 90s, you know, had the race riots and everything. It was like just a extremely dangerous part of town. And like in the last 15 years, they've just built it up so much. Gentrified it, changed it, like it's just a different, completely different part of the city. But yeah, so basically she called them and they were like, why the hell would you drive downtown, like we don't have time for this, and just kind of didn't let her press charges. She called the free store and told them what happened, and they said, why would you come alone, especially with kids and no like husband or man or anything with you? And so she was like, well, like there's nothing I can do, right? So she has never donated to them since, because again, they were like,
asshole,
why would you come down here by yourself? And she's like, I just wanted to give children Christmas gifts. I don't know. Right. And she says, now I have Vietnam veterans pick things up at my house with a scheduled appointment, which is actually what I do too. Cause I think a little nervous. And she says, the weirdest thing, again, I had the weekly cash income from the cafe in my wallet. So it was again, that like several thousand dollars that she was on her way to drop off at the bank. And she's like, I would have given it to them immediately. Like, I was trying to find it. Right. Like, she was hysterically trying to find it. And she said, but I was wearing my old Bavarian coat that day. And she has this massive, like, gigantic brown Bavarian coat.
Oh, my God.
That's, like, ridiculous looking, but, like, very valuable and expensive and from a long time ago. But, like, every time she wears it, people, like, think she's homeless. God. I remember she walked around with, like, a Louis Vuitton purse at one time, and someone thought she, like, stole it.
Oh, my God.
Because it's, like, this giant, like, floor-length brown coat. Anyway, she's going to hate me for saying that, but, like, it's ridiculous. She says, I wore my old Bavarian coat that day. It is warm, very voluminous, and not very flattering. Which is...
I feel like she was trying to beat you to the punch there.
Accurate assessment. Right. I didn't let her. She said, the wallet was in her coat pocket... And it was, like, in her coat pocket, but it was so deep and, like, had fallen kind of down that, like, even when she stood up and they checked underneath her, they couldn't find it. And so it was so far down in her pocket, she couldn't find it. So when the guy was sweeping the seat underneath her, he didn't feel the wallet. She said, I usually had a big purse with me, but not that day. So she drove home, was grateful nothing happened to us. She said they did steal all the toys out of the back of the minivan. And she said, hopefully they gave it to some kids who needed them.
Hopefully. They sound like good guys.
Yeah, they sound like, yeah. I mean, they didn't hurt us, so I guess there's that.
True.
But, yeah, my mom said that they just sat in the back and they weren't trying to, like, scare us. They were just, like, trying to get her wallet and, like...
Like, intimidate her, but not threaten the kids.
Yeah, yeah. It was very much like my brother was, like, kind of smiling and laughing, and they were just kind of like, hey, everything's fine. Just give us your wallet. Like, they were trying to be...
It's fine. It's fine.
Great.
Mommy's gonna give us all of her money, and then we're all fine.
Poor mom. Again, she was probably, like, 32 or something.
Oh, poor girl.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. It's tough enough having a fucking dog. I can't imagine having to take care of two children and, like,
oh my God,
live in this world.
Imagine someone, like, tries to break into your car and two people are sitting on either end of Geo.
Yeah, forget it.
I'd be like, okay, well, I'm done.
Okay, life is over now.
So I would have just run that other guy over who was standing in front of the car.
Yeah, but I mean, if that one guy's a gun to you.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's just scary. I mean, knock on wood, nobody's ever held a gun to me, and I pray that that never happens, but like, Jesus. Okay, so final paranormal story.
Woohoo!
We're in 1978.
You were not featured in this.
No, I was not.
Okay.
My mother is 15 at this point.
Okay.
So she says... So she lived in Bavaria, like I mentioned, and they were doing a maneuver. The American soldiers were doing a maneuver outside of their village. So they were kind of staying in near their town, near their house. And every other year where she grew up, they would have hundreds of tanks, soldiers, helicopters, other military equipment, like out in the woods and fields surrounding her village. They would build up like tent villages and like kind of set up maneuvers and things like that near where she lived. So 1978, she was living in an old farmhouse outside the village on top of a huge hill in Bavaria. It's a very beautiful house. We visit there in the summertime. But it's very creepy, and there's a lot of dense woods around it, and it just spooks me to no end. Very haunted. So one night, my mom's asleep in bed, and she hears her mom whisper into her ear while she's sleeping that her father, who, remember, like, was the one who stopped the car.
Right.
That her father had shown up in her room in his nightgown and sleeping cap.
Oh.
And had said, woken her up and said, your family's in grave danger.
Oh.
Yeah. And her husband, my grandfather, was traveling, so he wasn't home. So it was just her and the eight kids
right
at home. So she said she heard noise on the balcony outside the second floor. So, like, it's a pretty tall house, too. So, like, up on the second floor, she heard somebody walking around on the balcony. And since my mom was super into Wild West stories, she's, like, obsessed with, like, spaghetti westerns and, like, anything kind of, like, cowboy, like, American yeah. cowboy. And so my grandma just thought maybe my mom knows how to load and shoot a gun.
Just maybe.
And my mom goes, right, typical. I read a lot, but that doesn't mean I can actually do it.
I was hoping that the story would have gone, of course I know how.
Yeah,
I'm Renata.
I mean, I'm Renata. I'll figure it out. So she crawled on her stomach and she said I remember her telling me this. She's like, at this point, I kind of got in the mindset. She read a lot of these like old country books, Western books. And there was this character called Vinnetou, which was like this fictitious Apache character who was like this badass crime fighting like character that she was obsessed with from Western novels. So she crawled on her belly, imagining she was Vinnetou, this character. And she was like, I need to save my family. So she crawled down the stairs on her stomach into her parents' room, threw into my grandma's dressing room, got the rifle out of the closet, loaded it, crawled back into her own bedroom, saw shadows outside the window of someone trying to climb in the window, and just fucking shot out the window.
Oh my God.
She said she pushed the rifle through the window, she shoved it through the glass, so the window was still closed. She shoved it through the glass and just started shooting. She said three guys had already broken into the first floor. One was trying to get into her younger sister's bedroom on the third floor balcony, and two others were right outside her room on the balcony. They jumped off and ran away when she started shooting, except for one who fell into a swine trough, hit his head, and fell unconscious. She said she was so scared that she just reloaded the rifle and started shooting just like kind of blindly to like scare them away.
Yeah.
Finally, her mom yelled down. This is so ridiculous. Her mom came downstairs, yelled at her to stop shooting, and then called the mayor.
It's the most Renata story I've ever heard.
Again, just like super like matter of fact, and then called the mayor.
And then we called the mayor. It's like, okay.
As you would do, obviously.
Right. Are you like, but don't tell them we're a witch.
My mom's just fucking shooting everybody. So the mayor shows up with some military guys to try and pick up the people that have been kind of trying to get into their house. And my mom says, heck no. I took my camera out and took photos of them.
Good girl.
And she said in the guy's jacket pocket that the mayor had kind of like grabbed onto and was trying to take away, or not the mayor, but like the people he brought.
Right.
He had a ton of jewelry that they had just walked through the house and like been able to steal from the first floor. So she said, usually soldiers weren't punished in foreign lands. And then she said, but I had photos. Ha. So I guess since she had physical proof, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't avoid prosecuting these guys, basically. Right. So she said, lo and behold, it turns out a bunch of soldiers had continuously broken into houses in the village and robbed them of their valuables. And she didn't write this, but as I know, they were trying to get to the girls, like the preteen and teenage girls in the home. So
right.
That was part of it as well.
Yikes.
The biggest problem, she said, was that she shot the rifle too far inside the house. And so she was deaf for several days because it was so loud that she couldn't hear it for several days. She said, but I was proud as a peacock. apparently her mom, my grandma, thanked her dad again for like waking her and warning her that something was amiss. And she said that was the last time my grandma ever saw him. Basically after that, he said goodbye to her in a dream and said, I won't be returning. You're a big girl now and you can take care of yourself and your kids without my help. And so apparently when my mom actually cried telling me this the first time and said that her mom was just devastated for like days because she's like, my dad is like leaving. And it was sort of good because he was moving on and like he was able to be with his dad and his brothers who he lost during World War II. And his mom who'd passed away only 2 years before him. But like she felt like she was losing somebody that was right. had been with her for so long.
And also from a paranormal perspective, too, I'd be nervous of, like, does that mean that you're leaving because you don't need to warn us about anything else? Like, am I in the clear for the rest of my life from danger? Or are you just done now? I have to, like, wake up and find people breaking into my house.
I think my mom said it almost in a way of, like, he's like, you've got this from now on. Like you won't need me.
Okay.
And, like, I mean, nothing like this ever happened to my grandma again, so I don't...
That's good.
I don't know. But it seemed almost like my mom said she had a dream where he was like, I have to leave now, but, like, only because you don't need me anymore.
Okay. Well, that's more comforting, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that was... I just really like that story. So those were my mother's stories.
Very good.
Good job, Renata. Thank you for sharing.
And Halloween 3.0 will be Eva's family now.
Eva, call your mother. Anyway.
All right. So those
I
just thought awesome.
That was fun because I was like, oh, I've been saving my mom's too. I didn't know when I would ever use them. And I feel like this is a fun little.
No, that was awesome. Very, very good.
Return. So anyway.
All right. Well, happy Halloween.
We did it.
And by the time you've seen this, also happy Friendiversary.
Right. Yep. 30th.
Yes.
Wowza. That's coming up.
We'll be able to talk about that in the next episode because it's currently not October 30th, but we are about to go celebrate our Friendiversary and then record the next episode in the same day.
Oh my God, it's going to be
a
doozy.
It will be delayed, but you will see, you will hear about it.
You believe me, you'll fucking hear about
it. Believe you me. Words will be exchanged.
All right. Stay safe, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
Check us out, ATWWD Podcast.
All over
the internet.
And that's why we drink.com. And that's why we drink.com/live.
If you want to email us stories for our next listeners episode, and that's why we drink@gmail.com. Eva will look through those for us.
And if you want to send us any goodies for a future fan mail video, you can send them to
1920 Hillhurst Ave, number 265, Los Angeles, California, 90027.
Thank you for picking up the load.
We need a fun song like Zoom, like, come on, Zumba, Zumba. You know, and they have like
1920 Hillhurst Ave.
There it is. 02134, send it to Zoom. It's not as catchy with ours.
No.
90027, send it to, and that's where we drink. No, it doesn't work.
Send it to Geo.
Send it to Geo.
Aw.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
And
that's
why
we drink.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.